on Stanchenneck all the way down to the very tip of Cape Point. It's got a selection of some incredible hikes from short, gentle little ambles to a long, strenuous, full-day outings and everything in between. It also has got a two-day hike in the Cape of Good Hope Nature Reserve. There's a number of great little scrambles up some of the more rocky areas and peaks, and it includes some of the more popular caves in the Cork Bay Mountains as well. The book also describes some of the easy to moderate rock climbs that you'll find in the Table Mountain chain as well. And besides all the hikes, Southern Peninsula Classics is also, it's got an amazing amount of tales and facts and historical anecdotes as well that'll really keep you fascinated. So it's available at most leading outdoor bookstores. The Helderberg Nature Reserve reopens today. If you're in the Stellenbosch area, that'll be good news for you. There are some temporary changes. Gate times are from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., maximum of 500 people in the reserve, and obviously face masks compulsory, along with social distancing. Lion's Head remains closed. No word yet as to when Lion's Head's going to be opening. So Lion's Head closed, as is Boulders. And finally, a great fundraiser for Volunteer Wildlife Wildfire Services, the Vertical Virtual Kilometer Challenge. Three renowned mountains in the Western Cape, three awesome routes, and three very tough vertical kilometers. You've got 12 weeks to do it. Started on the 22nd of June, and you'll be competing against each other for the fastest vertical kilometers over the three routes. And you will have basically the remainder of the 4 weeks to complete each route. Today's route from the 22nd of June to the 19th of July was Stellenbosch Mountain via Kutzenberg. So it's your last weekend to do that one from Stellenbosch Mountain via Kutzenberg. If you want to find out more, pacerunning.net. You can go and check on the website, www.pacerunning.net. That's it for me for this morning, and I will be back again tomorrow.
Super stuff. Thanks ever so much, Jeff. That's Jeff Iliffe there with the Outdoor Report. And yes, back again same time tomorrow.
All aboard the Magic Bus with Sy O'Noon as he takes you on a musical journey through rock and roll of the 60s.
My boy, Lollipop, you made my heart go giddy up.
I'm 70s. The Magic Bus, Saturdays at 9 p.m. Just the hits on Cape Talk. Join the music.
Hey, neighbor, you are not supposed to have guests over.
What are you talking about?
Whose car is that in your driveway?
That's my new car.
How did you manage to get that done?
Super easy. I found it on webuycars.co.za. With thousands of cars for sale, they really have the right car for everyone.
But what about your old vehicle?
That was no problem. They made me a great offer.
Wow, that was quick.
I know, right?
We buy cars. The world is changing lanes. Shouldn't you? Click your next at www.webuycars.co.za.
Introducing one of the world's purest, most effective, and most easily absorbed CBD oil, Biocana. CBD oil plays a powerful role in bringing the body into balance, but most CBD supplements are poorly absorbed. Biocana is the breakthrough. Backed by 10 years of research, human clinical study, and organic, Biocana is 7 times better absorbed for quicker and faster results. Internationally certified CBD oil, verifying its safety, purity, and potency. Choose nature backed by science. Choose Biocana. Go to coinhealthcare.com.
Are you feeling guilty using conventional fossil fuel-based plastic cling wrap? Bonnie Bio now has internationally certified compostable cling wrap made from cornstarch in stock. Our compostable cling wrap is number one on Amazon in the USA and is now available here in South Africa. BPA free, additive free, chlorine and methyl free. USA Food and Drug Administration approved. Ask your local retailer or order online at bonniebio.co.za today.
Cape Talk. Cape Talk. What's up, Sarah Jane?
072-567-1567.
All right, at 11 minutes to 7 this morning for our health feature on Weekend Breakfast, we're giving you the chance to put your COVID-19 questions to our expert, Professor Bertram Fielding, who's a molecular biologist and the Director of Research Development at UWC, who's been working mainly on coronaviruses since 2003. So whether you want to know about symptoms that you or perhaps a family member are experiencing, maybe you want to go for a test but you're not sure what to expect, maybe you've received a negative test test, but you are displaying all the signs and symptoms of being COVID positive. Get your questions in to Prof Fielding on 021-446-0567, WhatsApp 072-567-1567 or SMS 31567. Already we've got a few questions that have filtered in. Prof, very good morning to you and thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning, Sarah Jane. Thank you for having me.
Well, kick straight off, if that's all right with you.
Of course.
Great stuff. Okay, so John in Rondebosch has asked, I often have things delivered to me because I'm trying to avoid going to the shops as much as possible. Can someone get coronavirus from mail or a package?
Look, right at the beginning of this pandemic, halfway through the pandemic, researchers have shown that this virus can remain active on surfaces. And depending on the surface, it could remain active for between a couple of hours to about 9 days. So there's always a possibility that you could become infected. The possibility remains small, but there's never a zero chance of infection.
And a similar question from Irene in Sun Valley, who's, same sort of theme. I heard someone say that there was no need to wipe down groceries, but if the virus can be transmitted via surfaces, surely that doesn't make sense.
So I've wiped down my groceries as well. But if you're concerned about the risk, and especially if you have a high-risk individual living with you, there is no harm in using a good sanitizer to wipe down the groceries, just to be minimize the risk of infection even more.
Okay, fantastic stuff. If you're just tuning in this morning, Professor Bertram Fielding, who is a molecular biologist and the Director of Research Development at UWC, is taking your COVID-19 related questions. Everything that you want to know about coronavirus, but we're afraid to ask. That's how we're terming it. So if you would like to pose a question to the Professor, please do so on 021-446-0567 if you'd like to speak to him directly, or you can send an SMS to 31567 or a WhatsApp to 072-567-1567. Holly in the CBD says, how relevant is the length of time of exposure to the likelihood of contracting the virus? Now, that's something that I've always wanted to know, Prof. How long, if you pass somebody in a supermarket, if you're in a lift with somebody just going up a floor, compared to being in the same room with them, let's say for a couple of hours, how important is that length of time of exposure?
That's actually a very good question, because if you look at internationally and with the previous coronavirus outbreaks as well, the biggest risk appear to have been in medical settings. And what is the difference between medical settings and these normal type of settings? Poorer ventilation in those medical settings, and then the exposure to the patient was very often extremely ill. So the exposure time is important as well. So obviously, the longer the exposure time, the greater the risk, especially if the person has a very high viral load, which means the person is emitting lots and lots of virus particles that could infect. With a lift, whether in the lift for a few minutes or not, the chances are increased as well, because remember, in a lift, you have a very confined space with very poor ventilation. And with us knowing that this virus can also be transmitted with aerosols, that can stay in the air suspended for longer. And aerosols are small respiratory droplets that can contain the virus. So that risk is there as well. So it's a very good question. And the longer the exposure time, the bigger the risk.
So let's say, for example, let's look at the issue of taxis, for example. You're in a taxi, let's say, for 30, 40 minutes. The windows are closed, which they're not meant to be. Although I have to say, as I was driving through the CBD yesterday, and I saw a number of taxis fully packed with windows closed, which was strange to me because the weather was quite warm yesterday. That presumably is a much higher likelihood than, let's say you're going for a walk around your neighbourhood and you pass somebody, because there was that fear, wasn't there? But, you know, people want to know, well, can I just go for a walk outside? Am I still safe? Why am I having to wear a mask when I'm just going to walk down the road? There's that confusion, I think.
So exactly. Being outside, the virus in the air outside, the risk is much, much slower. Remember, we have air currents outside. So whether this virus is spread via larger droplets from the respiratory system or the smaller aerosol droplets. Outside, you have UV light, you have temperature fluctuations, you have wind currents, you have air movement. So the virus effect is almost diluted outside. Within a taxi and even in a plane, the passengers are sitting very close to each other. So that social distancing, physical distancing is not there. And then with the additional lack of ventilation, the risk increases exponentially. The risk is kind of mitigated if everybody is wearing a good quality mask. However, we know that that is not always possible. So there is a much, much higher risk in a confined space such as a taxi or a plane.
Let's go to Stephen in the Strand, who sent in a WhatsApp saying, my partner's recovering from the virus, 3 weeks at home after hospital, but severe coughing, sore shoulders, hoarse compared to what she was in hospital. Blood clots are gone, but no tests on antibodies yet. She's working from home half day, but I think she's over rehabilitating. I don't understand that. What terms as recovered, says Stephen? Oh, that's a great question. Yeah. How do we term what recovered means? Thanks, Stephen.
So I see government as only, I think it was yesterday, made the announcement that self-isolation is lower to, I think what they said, 10 days.
10 days, yeah.
I'm a bit concerned about that. If you look at internationally, the 14 days still seems to be the accepted. So I'm a reviewer for international peer-reviewed academic journals. And I've reviewed some papers this past week that shows people are still shedding, patients are still shedding and infectious after 24, 26, 28 days. So really, we should really be testing a patient after the isolation period to see whether they have cleared or not. So this obviously very much depends on the severity of the disease that the person had as well. But I would still feel more comfortable with about 14 days, because then the chances of the patient having the body having cleared the virus is much, much bigger. But at the moment, we're looking at 10 days.
Okay, Stephen, I hope that helps. Jill in Constantia says, government has said that coronavirus will be around for at least a year to 18 months. What is likely to happen to the virus in that time? Will it get stronger or weaker over time? Great question. Thanks, Jill.
So unfortunately, we do not know yet. If you look at a previous coronavirus outbreak, and I'll keep on referring to these previous coronavirus outbreaks because we know of seven human coronaviruses, and this is the seventh one. So the other two, SARS and MERS, 2003 and 2014, they were more severe and they killed. The other four circulating yearly, and they caused the common cold. So we do not know with COVID yet. I have speculated in an article that I wrote earlier this year that if you look at one of those circulating coronaviruses in the 1890s, it appears there is some evidence as though that one caused a pandemic as well that killed a million people. That is not confirmed scientifically yet, so there's anecdotal evidence. That one appears to have become milder. So in a year and a half, the virus will probably not mutate hugely. There is some studies now that shows this virus has become more infective, so it's spreading easier within the 6 months, but it's not become more deadly, or the chances of you developing severe disease has not improved. But with this one, we do not know. For it to have huge, massive changes, we would need a much, 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 much longer time.
Okay, we've got about 30 seconds for your next answer, Prof. I'm so sorry. Lee in Meadow Ridge says, hi, Sarah Jane, please ask the professor if COVID-19 can be spread via air conditioning.
There is some studies that these coronaviruses, and not COVID-19 specifically, but some of the others, yes, it could. So you need a very good quality filter and maintain social distancing and masks, even if you have an air conditioner.
Okay, great stuff. Prof, thanks so much. That's all the questions we've got time for this morning, but it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. And I do hope you'll come back and perhaps help us again with another COVID Q&A in the future.
Definitely. Thank you, Sarah Jane.
Thanks ever so much. That was Professor Bertram Fielding there, who is a molecular biologist and director of research and development at UWC.
Or with Cape Talk.
This is Weekend Breakfast with Sarah Jane King.
Okay, great. Still to come on the show after seven, we find out more about a march that's taking place today, organised by the Stop Farm Murders Movement. They're marching on Parliament at midday. One of the organisers, Debbie Else, joins us next hour. We're also going to be joined by local funny woman Anne Hirsch. She's hosting a 67-minute stand-up comedy show later for Mandela Day. I also want to hear your memories of Nelson Mandela. Get them into me, and I'll get to a few of those voice notes after seven.
On capetalk.co.za.
On the app. On